Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station. Sitting in for Lawrence Holmes, it's now time for Hub Arkish and Olin Krutz, live from the 37th Annual Chicago Golf Show, presented by French Lick Resort on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Chicagoland Golf Show. We're out at the Donald Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. Top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join the Wildcats at Welsh Ryan Arena for their regular season finale against Penn State on March 7th. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com. And this hour on The Score is being brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-KARS, the number 4 kids. And welcome in again. It's so good to be with you. We got a couple hours here. And Olin, good to see you. Haven't visited in a little while. I'm just back from Indianapolis last night. Combine was interesting. And got a chance to visit with Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace for the first time since New Year's Eve, really, since their season-ending press conference. So we have a little better sense of what's going on with them. But before we even get into any of this, I know you're a golfer. I'm not.
Right.
I
use that word loosely, though.
That's not what I hear. I talk to some guys you play with who tell me that you can take them in a scotch game pretty regularly. But this really is an impressive show. I know just getting in from parking and seeing all the folks streaming in now, tons of great equipment, various teaching elements, course travel stuff. Really looks like an interesting show, and I'm curious. Your club's good? You here for a new set of clubs?
No, I'm not here for a new set. It's not the clubs that's the problem for me. It's the swing. But here at the Rosemont, I mean, this convention center is packed, Hub. I didn't expect this golf show to be this big. And talking to one of the guys who put it on the way in, he said it's probably the biggest public show in the Midwest that they put on. And it sure looks like it. I mean, if you're a golfer, get down here. They got everything you want in this place. I'm definitely going to take a walk around when we're done with the show here and see everything that they're offering, because this looks amazing.
It is the 37th annual Chicago Golf Show. It's presented by French Lick Resort. It's today through Sunday. We're here at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. I know we opened at noon today, and I think all day tomorrow and Sunday. You get free golf, free lessons, great deals, awesome travel destinations. There's a lot more. There are 300-plus vendors here where you can find deals on golf gear, apparel, destinations, a chance to win great prizes. You can sink the longest putt for a chance to win VIP tickets to the 2020 BMW Championship. Are they still playing that out of Conway, or did they move that?
They are going to have it again. I don't know if it's – I don't think it's this year, but maybe 2021 or 2022. One of those years they're coming back, I think.
Well, we know they play it every year, and you can win VIP tickets to this year's BMW Championship. You can also enter to win a golf weekend getaway for two from French Lick Resort at booth number 801. So you want to get to booth number 801. All kinds of other stuff, guys. There's a happy hour here from 4 to 7. There's trivia games. Lots of reasons to get out to the Donald Stevens Convention Center today. My golf expertise and knowledge has now been exhausted. So I'm going to move us back to where I came
mine
in.
Mine also, Hub.
Alan, one of the things that really intrigued me at the Combine was when Matt talked on Tuesday. The first thing he did before he even took questions was he wanted to give a little intro to all the new coaches. I know that there was some, I had some bad feeling. I'm mad at anybody, but it troubled me that at the year-end press conference, We asked Matt if he was making changes, and he said, well, we just started to work on that. And then 45 minutes later, we found out that three coaches were gone. And then, you know, you get 8 weeks of silence. Well, now we know who these guys are. You look at, you know, Bill Lazor is a respected offensive mind around the league. Comes with more pro experience than Mark Helfrich did, if not necessarily a stronger resume. You look at Juan Castillo, really not all that different from Harry Hiestand in resume-wise. You know, a longtime offensive line coach, respected, having been with a number of groups. And then at tight end, Clancy Barone. I think you got to argue that's an upgrade over Kevin Gilbride, only because Barone's been around. He's developed some great tight end talent. Gilbride was a younger coach. And then we're already calling him Flip, and we haven't met him yet. But apparently everybody calls John DeFilippo Flip. They were so determined to get him in to work with Mitch that they created a new job for Dave Ragone, who they want to let go. And so the first concern I came away from with all this is I hope they're not telling us that they think that these new coaches are the answer to winning with the same talent, because I think we figured out by the end of the season that they needed to get better and more competitive at some of these positions.
Yeah, and when you watched the offense last year, you knew that they'd have a lot of questions, and you knew, Hub, that when they showed up at the combine, there was no way they were going to answer those questions, and they let go, you know, Heffrick and Hiestand and Gilbride, and they brought in, you know, DeFilippo and Lazar and Barone, and they moved Ragone over. And DeFilippo, they seem to like the fact that he's aggressive and he really coaches the fundamentals hard and the footwork. And constantly talking about, Hub, and I'd like to get into this with you, is teaching Mitch how to process the field. They're constantly talking about that, which leads me to believe that we'll see a lot more of Mitch in the pocket, right, which he didn't do well last year. I don't want to just put a blanket over Mitch. I'd like to go into the offseason a little more positive. But when you're the 29th ranked offense in the league, and interesting to me how they always talk about they're going to improve the run game. Well, the run game was 27th. Their pass game was 25th. They average only 17 points a game. So, really, they need to improve everything, right? Yep. And they fired the guys who were the run game coordinators. That's what, you know, Heffrick and Hiestand, we heard that's what they were doing. But the pass game guys weren't doing too much better, and they're all still pretty much here, right? So it'll be very interesting what direction they go with this offense. They got to get better play from their tight ends. They got to get better play from their offensive line. They got two new coaches in. They definitely got to get better play from their running game. And then it all starts with their quarterback, Hub. And the reason why I say that is it starts with their quarterback because of the scheme they choose to run. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting to me, and you know just about a bunch of these guys as I do, is when you turn these guys' films on, and I'm talking about Lazor, DeFilippo, and Juan Castillo, his last year in Buffalo when he worked with what's the guy from Alabama, the office coordinator now?
Dabo Swinney.
So when he worked with the guy
Kirby
in Buffalo,
Smart.
I'll get the name. Yeah. I'll get the name before I screw it all up. But when he worked with the guy in Buffalo, their offenses look really similar, really similar, right? It's the read option. Really, Lazor likes to run a lot of Chip Kelly's scheme, which was what Heffer ran, right? So DeFilippo is obviously a spread guy, just like Nagy is. So you're wondering, after the offense you watched last year, you're wondering, Hub, where are the new ideas coming from? Are they just banking on, and here's my question for you, are they banking on that these guys are better at coaching the scheme that they've already been running?
That's kind of part of the take of my column from last night, Owen, is I think that is exactly what they're banking on, and that troubles me a little bit, quite frankly, because the coaches that were fired were not bad coaches. There is not a more respected offensive line coach in football than Harry Hiestand, and that includes Juan Castillo, who isn't of that ilk. I mean, you know, Juan's a good coach too. But to suggest that the offensive line is going to be better because we swapped Harry Hiestand for Juan Castillo, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. You know, you are reading this as, you know, maybe they want Mitch in the pocket more. I'm not sure that that's really what they're focused on so much as I know he had trouble with the RPOs and often made the wrong decision. I know that's one thing that they want him to process and read better. I know that they felt that too often he was checking down when, if he knew the offense better, a deeper route was going to open up, even though it hadn't opened up yet. So I don't think it's trying to get him in the pocket more so much as different voices. There was two things that Matt said, and I'm quoting him almost directly now, that this is where I started to get a little concerned. He talked about nobody has ever worked offensive linemen harder than Juan Castillo has. And he's going to get great competition going, and yet they know he'll fall on the sword for him. That sounds like Harry Hiestand to me.
Right.
Then he also comes back. He talks about Filippo, DeFilippo. He said, you know, he takes the gloves off and he'll get on you and he'll push you. And it just sounded like a whole tough love thing. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know. I do know that Dave Ragone, I think, probably is more of the studious teacher type. I'm guessing he wasn't doing a lot of screaming. But it sounds to me like they think a lot of tough love may be the answer here. And I just don't know that that was ever the problem.
Yeah, and you're hoping that, you know, they're right, because this is the off season. You want to go in a positive direction, but all those things we saw from that offense, and really from week 14, right, the year before, when the offense really struggled. They struggled against the Eagles in that playoff game. I think they only scored 16 points in that playoff game. So they went into that off season. I always think it's interesting to go back and look what they were saying after a successful year, Hub, or what they would consider a successful year before the double doink. Coach Nagy was at Indianapolis the year before in 2019, almost saying very similar, I want to get the run game fixed, right? There's a quote out there, I read it, I didn't write it down, but Mitch comes to his office and says, coach me hard. I want you to coach me hard. Don't go easy on me. And now we're hearing kind of the same things at this combine, where we want to really get the run game fixed. These new guys are going to coach these guys hard, right? And here's the problem with what you just said, Hubbard, and I know we got to go to break. Here's the problem with it. With the new rules we just talked about from the CBA, you cannot grind these guys anymore, right? So you got to find guys who are very efficient at coaching what they know, coaching their knowledge. And Juan Castillo from the old school, and so is Harry Hiestand. Everybody knows Harry Hiestand is a really good friend of mine. So I try to be really fair-minded when I study and review them hiring Juan over Harry. They have to adapt to these new rules and try to get this offensive lineman to play at a high level without as much time as they used to have with them.
All right, guys, here's what we're going to do. We've got a couple great guests lined up, thanks to Olenex. Were you and Taylor together in Hellas Hall, or was he there after you?
Roberto Garza introduced me to him. Okay. I got to know him really well.
Taylor, but Dan Fabian, I can't believe, good to see you. That man, he's to blame. He's the reason that I'm on the radio. This goes back a few years.
Sorry. No, thank you very much.
All right, guys, we got Taylor Boggs going to stop by. Taylor these days is working on training offensive linemen, preparing them for the NFL. He had a bunch of his guys getting ready to go to the combine. We're going to have Taylor fill us in on what it's like to get these guys ready, what you can accomplish, as well as being able to share some of his offensive line experience. That's going to be right on the other side of this break right here at The Score. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Lawrence Holmes Show, but Lawrence is out today. I am Hub Arkish, along with Olin Kreutz. We're sitting in for Lawrence, and we're out and about today at the Chicagoland Golf Show at the Donald R. Stevens Convention Center out in Rosemont. It is impressive, guys. If you are a golfer, you want to get out here this weekend. We are here into the evening tonight, all day tomorrow. And so I shouldn't say we are here. Our show just until 2 o'clock. But the golf show goes on. All kinds of great equipment, opportunities for free lessons, free golf, travel destinations. It's definitely the place to be if you're interested in doing something about your golf game this weekend. But Olin, what we're trying to do right now is help to entertain and educate our listeners about what's going on with the Chicago Bears, particularly acquiring new talent. And I know I have a lot of focus on the offensive line, which never bothers you all that much.
Always trying to figure out how the new offensive linemen, even different than when I played, Hub, how they train now and how they get ready. And, you know, we got a guy here, played at Humboldt State, played center, actually played for the Bears 2012 to 2014. He was introduced to me by Roberto Garza, just a really good guy, become a really good friend, and now he works with LaCharles Bentley out in Scottsdale, Arizona at O-Line Performance Center, which is, you know, they hub, their training center is solely designed around just developing offensive linemen. That's really all they study. And they do a hell of a job. They got a lot of guys in there, a lot of NFL guys. They're really the go-to authority on developing offensive linemen. I know when I have questions about training kids, about training young offensive linemen, I've actually been to LaCharles Bentley's seminar. I call, you know, who we're about to have on, Taylor Boggs, when I have a question about developing a kid, whether I'm training a kid or I have a question for technique. So we have Taylor Boggs on with us. What's up, Boggs?
What's up, man? Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on, man. Now, our first question for you, Boggs, is with the what is your guys' philosophy with the 6 or 7 weeks that you have with the combine going on right now? I'm sure the listeners would like to know, you guys have about 6 or 7 weeks with these guys. What's your philosophy on training them and getting them ready for the NFL combine? And, you know, if you're comfortable with it, if you're not, don't worry about it, but maybe a name or two of the guys you are training now.
Yeah, sure. We got a couple guys from Oregon. We have Jake Hansen. His brother also works here, and his brother played at Humble State after me, so we have that connection. And the left guard, Shane Lemieux. We have Justin Heron from Wake Forest, the left tackle. He's at the combine as well. And the left tackle at Colton, I would say his last name, but I'll butcher it, from West Virginia. He's training here right now. And we have another guy. He's not in the combine, an Iowa State guy. But, like, based on our philosophy is, you know, we bring guys in, and the first thing we do, we start showing them film of some of the great players, you know, guys such as Olin Krutz and, you know, maybe some other left tackles out there and some guards, depending on who we're showing. We just like to set a standard of what, you know, show them what great is, you know, so we could get rid of, you know, what maybe their favorite player in the NFL might currently be, somebody that went to their school or whatever. And we just try to set a standard like that, really start working them from the head up or neck up. And then we just start teaching basics, you know, how to move, how to get in the stance. And then we start, you know, in showing some combine drills. We don't overdo combine drills because at the end of the day, we need guys to have technique ready to play football. And we just maybe a little emphasis on the 40s and stuff just so they can get out there and perform and show what they can do. But ultimately, we're getting guys ready for either Senior Bowl or for that training camp.
Taylor, let me take you one step back for a second to get a little more background. You mentioned the name LaCharles Bentley, and I'm sure some of our listeners are familiar, but it's become a trend in sports in the last 10, 20 years. You know, Hank Haney never played golf but was Tyler Woods' guru. You hear about Jordan Palmer developing quarterbacks, and when offensive linemen are looking for the leading voice in their field right now, it's become LaCharles Bentley. And as I recall, going all the way back to Ohio State and just coming into the NFL, he was really one of the first of the offensive linemen to have philosophy and teaching ideas that went well beyond, you know, get in the weight room and pump iron and hit somebody hard. What can you tell us about the whole evolution of the LaCharles Bentley, you know, school of offensive line coaching?
Yeah, so, I mean, I missed his playing time. I was a fan of his growing up, but I've been there. In his original facility was in Ohio. It was called O-Line Academy, so I've been there since inception. You know, ultimately, he's just like an O-line nerd. Like, we love the offensive line play, and he got to a point where he could no longer play anymore because he got a staph infection that ultimately ended his career. It was a great career up until that point, and through kind of his inability to play, he actually learned ability, and he was, you know, trying to figure a way to work around his knee. The staph infection butchered his knee. You could Google it. It's pretty bad looking, but he was, you know, he was still trying to play after getting the staph infection. And through that inability, he was actually kind of understanding how to move better, how to be more efficiently. And he just really hit film, you know, studying the greats as we all like to do. And then found trends within that, and then he started studying biomechanics and physiology and physics, and then ultimately to that inability, he learned, you know, an ability to play better, more efficiently, and then he was able to teach it. And that's like the key. You know, there's a lot of great players out there, and they don't necessarily know why they were great, but they were. So it's kind of hard to teach, but he got to the position where he was able to teach why he played well, and that's what, you know, that's ultimately his philosophy, but that's why it was special. He was able to help guys out because he was able to see through a different lens.
Yeah, and I can speak to that, Boggs. Like, you know, me and LaCharles were around about the same time, and that guy, Hub, was an absolute animal. Mm-hmm. And he's an all-pro and Pro Bowler at two different positions. And just from watching him play, and then he went on. And like I said, I went to his seminar and watched him speak out in Cleveland. And talk about a guy who studies offensive line, who's in love with it. There's some guys who talk about it, Hub, who talk about offensive line play, who talk about studying offensive linemen. These guys are out there every single day doing it, developing offensive linemen, studying the film, poring over it hour after hour, and really dedicating their whole life to just offensive line play, which, as you know, excites me. But, hey, Boggs, do me a favor and take us through a typical day for someone who trains at OLP, not just a combine guy, because I know, and that's why I really enjoyed when you said that, that you guys are not worried about the combine. You're worried about making better football players, because that's really what matters. What's a typical day for these young guys as soon as they walk in the door throughout when they're going to train and teaching them about eating and body composition and then skill and technique and just all the things that you guys are offering offensive linemen out there?
Yeah, so like you said, everyone that's gone through it, they've basically gone through the seminar that you witnessed. So they're getting taught the principles of how to move most effectively. Like we don't teach, you know, if you want jump sets or short sets or vertical sets, we don't teach that. We're just trying to teach how to accomplish those things most efficiently. So everyone that trains here will have gone through that seminar. And now once they're rolling, they understand that. We have just various tools we use to like give context to proper movement. You know, some of the things that LaCharles designed specifically for O-line, like the pass pro plate, that allows players to understand, you know, if they want to go left, they're driving off their right foot. We're not kicking or stepping. So we'll give them those tools to kind of give context stuff. And we actually, this is the surprise, that we spend so much time working players, just their stance. Because, you know, people that, like, love O-line play, they love the finish. But, like, when we watch O-line play, we love to see, like, a good stance, a good takeoff. And then, I mean, yes, and we love a good finish. We love seeing someone stone someone on the line on a pass rush or pancake someone in the run game. But we, you know, we could always connect that back to, like, the good stances. Even if you look across the scope of the NFL, the best players playing now and throughout history always had some similarities in their stance. So we're always just every day, stance, work that stance. We challenge it. We get them tired and put them in a stance and want to see if they can hold it. We challenge it by putting bands around them, weights and stuff. We're always challenging the stance because ultimately that's your fighting position. Everything we're trying to do is get the offensive line athletes to stay in that stance and get into a fight. So we don't want to overcomplicate it. You know, pass pro is ultimately you have a great stance. You get to a spot where you're recreating that great stance and you get in a fight in that stance. So we really try to get athletes to understand and really own that stance. And then we'll get into, you know, your traditional couple lower body days, a couple upper body days a week. You have your recovery. Some days we might be working a heavy pass pro day. Most of the time it's heavy pass pro. We work run game, but we also believe a lot of times run game, those good run blockers are built. Like your personality, old recruits, we can pretty much just meet you within 5 minutes. We're like, oh, this guy is probably a great run blocker. You turn the film on, and it's true. It's in your personality. But, you know, someday it might be a heavy run day, double team day, but we're always just working that pass, working that stance, and it gets monotonous, like it's boring. But then when guys finally get it, it clicks. They appreciate the fact that we do challenge that stance, that fight position so much.
Bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz and the Wildcats return to Wrigley Field on November 7th as they host Wisconsin. Guarantee a ticket to this matchup with the purchase of season tickets. Buy now at nusports.com. Olin Kreutz is here. I'm Hub Arkish, and we are visiting with former Chicago Bear Taylor Boggs. Taylor, actually 6 years in the league, not only with the Bears, but spent some time with the Jets and the Lions and the Cardinals, and is down in Arizona now working at the LaCharles Bentley Academy for Offensive Linemen. And Taylor, I know you said it's not your primary focus, just the combine, but we also know that you get a bunch of kids, underclassmen and seniors, getting ready for the draft who come out in December and January, and their first big move is how can I improve my stock going to the combine? So when you get those kids in there for those first 4 or 6 weeks and you know that that's where they're headed, what areas can you actually work with them and improve their testing or improve their measurements or are you able to do that at all in that short time between the end of their college career and the combine?
Well, to be honest, the first thing that we can improve that's going to like move their stock up is getting them ready for that Senior Bowl. So we start off with a lot of skill. And then once that's that Senior Bowl is gone. We're not going to mess around with the 40 and the shuttle and all those things leading up to the Senior Bowl. We want them to go out there and dominate, because you go out there and have a dominant performance, you can move up a round. A tenth of a second off of a 40, maybe not. But then once they've completed the the Senior Bowl, we have amazing strength coaches, the best track coaches in the world from Altus, a great organization out here in Arizona. One of their head coaches, Cheedy, he comes out and he'll start training the offensive line athletes on the 40, the shuttle, and all these things. And he's doing it in the context of offensive line play. Everything we're talking, just with, when we talk, we never talk about steps or kick slide. We're always talking about putting force to the ground. We're always talking about intent. We're always being violent. And when we bring in Cheedy to do the 40s and stuff like that, it actually helps connect the dots. Because as offensive line athletes, we've always been told step or kick for years and years, so that gets ingrained into us. So when we teach them, you know, hey, it's about force to the ground, it's about driving and catching, they might get it. But once Cheedy comes around, he starts talking about, hey, the launch on the 40-yard dash, putting force to the ground on the short shuttle, and they start hearing that same language, and they go, oh, I get it. I'm not just like an unathletic, you know, slow offensive lineman. Like, I'm putting force to the ground. I need to be violent. I need to have intent. So, you know, we might not knock a tenth of a second off of their 40, but we don't care. If we get them through the combine healthy and they look good, they'll look smooth. And ultimately, the best thing of it is that it gives more context to how we move. It's how we're trying to get them to move as offensive line athletes.
Hey, you know, wanted to get away from the combine a little bit, Boggs. I know you guys have been partnering with the NFL and kind of leading the charge on making the game safer and not taking any unnecessary risks. Talk to us about how you guys are trying to change blocking and talking to offensive linemen about taking their head out of the game and just kind of leading the charge on the youth level and the high school level on coaching kids up and trying to get this game safer so this game will be around for a long time.
Yeah, that's what the NFL way to play. And, I mean, that's where Charles is like genius has really come through, because, you know, it's kind of transcended, you know, my area of interest as far as O-line play. It shows up ultimately in all the positions. And, you know, a lot of times we do harp on stance, and we call it posture in the NFL way to play. And the great thing about that is a lot of those, like, times we see offensive line athletes blocking with their heads down, it starts with the stance. So something we've harped on about being in that fight stance, a good fight stance actually puts your head in a better position. And then the next thing we see, and everyone's been told this, you know, when you coach cues where you where to put the head for offensive line athletes, you're told, oh, get your head across. Well, we're pretty much literalists when we hear these things. Like, we'll just swing our head across. You think of a backside or a tackle cutting off a three-tech on the backside of outside zone. You got to get your head across. They're swinging their head around, and they end up with a helmet to helmet from that three-tech. So we don't teach that. We always say get your hips on the angle, own the angle. So little cues where, you know, whether it's get your screws to screws or face mask to face mask, we always take that out. We just give aiming points along the body, you know, whether it's the number, the shoulder pad, the armpit. We're giving coaching cues like that to target with your hands, and then aiming points to take your hips through. So your midline, if it was outside zone, instead of get your head across, it's take your hips through their outside number. And ultimately, your head's going to wind up in a good position, and you're going to have a way better posture getting there, and we'll see less head-to-head contact.
Taylor, unfortunately, we're out of time. We're going to have to run. But before I let you go, I've got to ask you, you spent half your career here in Chicago. I'm guessing that you think kindly of Phil Emery, since he's the guy who brought you here. But unfortunately, your 3 years was coincidental with the Phil Emery and Mark Trestman regime, which didn't work out so well. Any thoughts or memories, anything that you look back at your time in Chicago? Do you follow the team still? Anything that you might be able to add about what they're going through right now?
I don't consider myself one of the great alumni, obviously, but Chicago is my team, I'd like to say. I still got friends there now, like Bobby Massey. My time was great there. You know, Garza took me under his wing. He introduced me to one of my childhood heroes, on recruits, and now I'm on a radio show with him. But, you know, I enjoy watching him. You know, Bobby Massey, I got some time with Cody Whitehair and Charles Leno. Love those guys. You know, I always see them working, and that's all that matters to me.
Well, Taylor, if it makes you feel any better, it was actually Garza that I was trying to get for my radio partner. And Roberto, he said yes, and then he said, no, I'm going to go back in the weight room, but maybe we can get you Kreutz. So, you know. He would have been the first choice if we ever thought he was going to do it, but once we finally got him, we're delighted to have him here.
That's awesome. I love it.
Taylor, thank you so much for taking time out to join us today again. Taylor Boggs, former Chicago Bears center, now working at the Charles Bentley Performance Center for Offensive Linemen down in Arizona. We're going to take a quick commercial break, get back to some more combine talks and more talk about changes going on with the Chicago Bears. We've got more great guests coming up. Actually, a window here. If you want to have a question for Olin or myself, give us a call, 312-644-6767, or come on out and see us at the Chicagoland Golf Show out at the Donald Stevens Convention Center out in Rosemont. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you all so much for being with us today. You've got Olin Kreutz and Hub Arkish sitting in for Lawrence Holmes on the Lawrence Holmes Show. Lawrence, I assume will be back on Monday. Hopefully I'm not steering you wrong on that. Yes, he will. Herb Lawrence is spinning the dials back in the studio. We got Rich Wyatt out here producing and engineering for us at the Donald Stevens Convention Center, where we are at the Chicago Golf Show. And guys, if you are a golfer, you want to get out to the Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont this weekend. It is really impressive out here. All kinds of great booths and exhibits for clubs and gloves and shoes and equipment. There's a chance to win some free golf. You can get some free golf lessons. There are travel destinations, all kinds of ancillary, tangential products to the game of golf. This is the place to be this weekend. There are 300-plus vendors where you can find deals on golf gear, apparel, and as I said, destinations, a chance to win great prizes. You can sink the longest putt for a chance to win VIP tickets or VIP pickets to the 2020 BMW Championship. Come on out to the Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. I don't have the exact hours. I want to say we're only here until 2, but I want to say the show goes till about 7 tonight and then all day on Saturday and Sunday, and you definitely want to stop by if you're looking to upgrade your gear or learn more great ways to enjoy the game of golf. Taylor was great. I've always been fascinated by LeCharles Bentley because for those who caught the whole interview, Taylor talked a little bit about how Bentley got into this in the first place. And apparently, I think coming out of Ohio State, one of his knees was destroyed. And early on in his NFL career, both knees were gone. And people wondered how he even stayed on the field. And he not only stayed on the field, but he got himself to 2 Pro Bowls. Probably would have gotten to a couple more if you weren't hogging the starting center spot at the Pro Bowl for all those years. But he was a hell of a football player. And he has become the go-to guy for offensive linemen. You know, kids coming out of college, even NFL players going back to improve their game. I am told. So did you went to the Performance Center in Arizona?
No. He had a seminar.
Okay.
And I think it might have been his first one. And it was in Cleveland at his old high school. And I hope I'm correct, but I think it was St. Ignatius.
St. Ignatius, that's
in
correct.
In Cleveland, where he went to high school. And LeCharles, he blew his knee out in walkthrough versus Ted Washington, right? And then he got staph infection and almost lost his leg, yeah. Right? And from then on, when he couldn't play, and I think he battled back and actually got back on the field again and went on this journey of just getting his body right, and then just decided that he was going to train offensive linemen, and it kind of just grew into, like you said, Hub, that he studied so much that he's the foremost expert in the nation on offensive line play. He's put so much time into it. And what people need to understand when Taylor Boggs is on, and the funny thing about their whole crew, it's hard to get them to talk about how good they are, what they do. They're typical offensive linemen. They're very humble. But they spend all day. They spend hours studying guys. You know, Bobby Massey's out there for guys who are, you know, for the Chicago Bear fans. Ted Larson is a name that's worked out there. Kyle Long worked out there during his Pro Bowl year. And Kyle will tell you how much these guys, how hard they work and what they believe in. So LeCharles Bentley now also, like Boggs mentioned, is a big part of taking the head out of the game for younger kids, trying to teach blocking and tackling without using your head. So just a very interesting performance center they have out there in Scottsdale, Arizona. They are on the internet. They're on Instagram. They're on Twitter. OL Performance, and they do a great job giving guys concepts like Boggs talked about on how to teach young kids how to move, how to block people, because A lot of young coaches in high school, they need that for teaching offensive line play. And I know they offer teaching. And look, I don't. It sounds like I work there, but I don't. They offer that online where you can learn, and they'll teach you. And they have videos, and they're constantly putting out content to help to grow the game. And that's why I respect them so much.
This segment is brought to you by Illini Healthcare. You deserve quality healthcare. Choose Illini Healthcare for healthcare coverage that includes free gym memberships, after-school care, and school uniforms that offer that either you or your family can take advantage of. Visit IlliniCare.com. Illini Care Health is a health choice plan. And we do have a caller on the line. And forgive me, guys, because we're working remote here in the screener. I'm getting the name on the phone, not necessarily your name, but it may be Leslie on the line. Okay, Dion, I'm sorry. How you doing, bud?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hi.
I'm sorry, JR. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I just wanted to talk about something about Trubisky and the offense. Matt Miller from Bleacher Report was on the show this morning, and he brought up something that it hit home with me, because he goes, you cannot evaluate a quarterback without sufficient talent around him. He said that the only people on the offensive line he would keep is Daniels and White here, and then the tight end production last year was not there. So people, you know, fans, I get it. Maybe I get it. Wants to say Mahomes, you know, the pass on Mahomes. Well, look who Mahomes has. And then I saw a statistic where Deshaun Watson, without Will Fuller, averaged only 6.4 yards per attempt when he was doing 8.8 yards per attempt with Fuller in the lineup. So you need to have talent around this quarterback. And I think Mitch still has a very, very good future ahead of him in Chicago. Let him work his strength, okay? And, you know, what really set me off was against the Saints. When Mitch threw his first pass in the second half, they were down 26-10, okay? So I feel like the fan base, I get it, they're upset with Mitch, but I feel like there's a lot more that needs to be addressed than the quarterback, i.e., if you notice, the sequence in position coaches that were hired, starting with the offensive line coach.
Well, JR, let me try and summarize Mitch Trubisky in less than 60 seconds. The reason...
This I got to hear of.
The reason Chicago Bears fans are so upset with Mitch Trubisky isn't because he's the worst quarterback in the NFL. It's because he isn't Patrick Mahomes. That's where we start. Then you move to... Mitch is absolutely part of the problem. He has not developed through his first three seasons to the point where you had hoped. But then you get to the most important part, which is we have seen flashes that say they can be pretty exciting with him under center if they put the talent around him. So it's just not a one-size-fits-all. And I mean, you know, I get aggravated and fed up with these people constantly attacking Mitch because he's not the problem. But he is part of the problem, and that's what they have to be developing. And JR was absolutely right. Until they get better at tight end, they're good at wide receiver. They need a little more speed outside, and they got to do a better job running the football. We're not going to know how good Mitch is.
Yeah, and we get into a little bit of, how do I say it, Hub, chasing our tail here, right? Because, okay, is it Mitch or is it the guys around him? And if it's the guys around him, then we traded up draft picks to get Mitch. We traded our draft picks to get Khalil Mack. So then we don't have first-round picks to take a tackle or a running back. And then you got, was it Kevin White, the receiver, who didn't pan out?
Yeah, with first pick.
Right, his overall pick. So then there's a reason that there's not people around him. So then is it Ryan Pace who traded away the picks? And then you start talking about, okay, they can't run the ball. Well, does Coach Nagy not have the guys to run the ball, or does he just not run the ball, right? So the whole offense is, in totality, really, really bad, right? So they're 29th in the league. They've averaged 17 points a game last year. If you put in for week 14 last year, they're about 18 points a game right now. Yes, everybody around Mitch did not play well. They didn't even have a tight end to speak of, which always goes back again to you signed Trey Burton, he got injured. You drafted Adam Shaheen, he didn't work out. So now we keep chasing our tail. Is it Mitch or who is it? Who are we really talking about here? The one thing we do know is this. Mitch is not playing well. He is not playing good football right now. He does not make the guys around him better, which is your number one job as a quarterback. He's not raising the level of the people around him, right? So you have a seventh-round pick playing left tackle. You have a fourth-round pick playing right tackle. You have two twos who are probably both better at center, playing left guard and center. And then Kyle Long got hurt last year. So you did have a lot of problems on your offense. But I just go back to the fact that you're chasing your tail. But if you just look at Mitch Trubisky, and here's the problem that me and you run in the hub. Everybody asks us about Mitch Trubisky, so we answer, and then we're blaming Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
No, it's not really what we're doing. If you want to ask me about anybody on the offense, I'll talk about them too. But if you ask me about how Mitch Trubisky is playing, he is not playing well enough that a guy who was traded up for taking number two in the draft. Now it comes to the fact of, is it when you can't run the ball, is it Coach Nagy's scheme? Is it the running game? Is it the running back? Do you have a good running back? Where is Tariq Cohen gone? That should be a new song. Where have you gone, Tariq Cohen? No one knows where he is. So this offense, yes, has a lot of problems. But if you turn the film on and you watch Mitch Trubisky, he is not playing good football, which is why they haven't picked up his fifth option.
Guys, we've got to take another quick break. We're going to visit with Brandon Thorne on the other side, talk some more combine, some more draft preparation. Also going to continue to take your phone calls. Got the lines lit up now. Guys, hang on. We're going to get to everybody in just a moment after this quick break on The Score.